she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I save my
good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with your hosts David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hey.
Hey. Waddle.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. And me, Sybil. 877-881-1053. That's the phone number here. If you want to call us, you've got 1 hour starting right now. You can get free advice from David and Tammy. They are our car experts. You can also fan text us at always 43733. And you can call Autoflex. David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. And you can also go to autoflex.com. Hello.
Hello.
Reach us that way. And at the same time, you can see all of our great pre-owned cars, but maybe more importantly, you can contact Autoflex, set up a lease, set up a test drive, do all that online. The other thing is, all the stories we're going to do today, plus more, is at the Autoflex Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So if you like us on Facebook, you can read all these great stories and a lot more car news.
You can follow along with stuff like this. The J.D. Power initial quality study results are in. I swear, it seems like we do this. It seems like J.D. Power has some kind of survey at least once a month.
That's how they make their living. That's,
okay.
It's a job.
It gets confusing after a while. Like, wait, is this the good survey or the bad survey?
Well, and this is a survey that they run every year on new cars, and it's a 90-day survey. So it maybe is not representative of how the car will last for the next 5 years, but it is a pretty good indication of how many glitches you're going to have if you get one of these cars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just problems with the car as far as mechanical failures. It's issues that the new owners have sometimes with their technology, like me.
Well, with the Ford MyTouch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to read an owner's manual. Personally, anything I buy, if it comes with an owner's manual, I hand it to my sweetie. You read it, tell me how it works.
Right.
Show me the main stuff, and that's all I want to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the new cars now have so much technology packed into them that it takes a lot of effort to learn how to operate everything. So some of the problems that people mention may simply be because they didn't take the time to read the owner's manual, which is about the same thickness as the Gutenberg Bible.
When BMW introduced their new 7 Series, and that was cutting edge, had the iDrive system and all the cool gadgetry, and it was right at the beginning, telecom had done well, but then it took a big bust, but I think all those young people that were into technology, that's who they were going for, the young, rich entrepreneurs. And then that business kind of failed, so the people who could afford them were older. But they didn't want to read the manual either. It took a two-hour training session with your salesperson, with the delivery specialist, to go through everything on the car. 2 hours. Well, that's just to go through it, skim it, basically. Mm-hmm. Show you once. Not, you do it 3 times, show me you can do it, then we're going to have a test, none of that. It's just, I'm going to show you, then you go home and practice for the next 3 years on your lease. By the time you turn the car back in, you might know how to use.
You should have it pretty well figured out.
They had the first joystick, and they didn't really call it a joystick. They called it an iDrive, but it was a joystick.
Uh-huh.
And you changed everything.
A joy knob.
You changed everything.
Difference. There might have been a little more joy if it had been a stick.
Maybe.
Would have felt like a...
If you wanted to change it from the navigation to the radio, you use this joy knob.
Uh-huh.
And then if you wanted to adjust the temperature, you'd have to use the joy knob.
Yes, I remember hearing about this now.
So one of our good customers, whose son actually worked for us a bazillion years ago, anyway, Julia, his mom, she came in and she said, Tammy, I want to get rid of this car. It takes a PhD to drive it, and I only have a master's. So she traded out of that, and guess what she got? A Lexus.
Something without a joy knob.
Nice.
Yes.
I love all the technology, but they do need to make it simple for us simpletons.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, if we're going to be using it while we're driving, hello, it needs to be simple.
That's true.
Okay.
Absolutely. So back to the test, results.
Back to the results. There's my 2 cents.
There you go.
Or 20 cents.
The survey, interestingly enough, Jaguar, Porsche, and Cadillac posted the biggest improvements in the first 90 days of ownership of any other models. So Jag, Porsche, and Porsche and Cadillac improved the most, while Mini, Chrysler, Mercedes, Ford, and Subaru fell back. Now, and they believe in the case of Ford, back to the iTouch system. Mm-hmm. And Tammy, talk about what happened with yours. I mean, it's...
Oh, they did an upgrade, and it made all the difference. I mean, some days I'd get in it, and it just wouldn't work at all.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't come on. It would say nav card missing. It was in there. I'm like, hello.
Weird.
It just wasn't doing these connections. The other thing that they were improving is everything on the screen was a little bit smaller. And, you know, I'm wearing readers now. So they made things a little bit bigger, and they placemented everything. They moved it around a little bit. Of course, I was just getting used to things, and they changed it on me. That was fun. But, no, it works now. The voice commands all work now. I gave up sometimes. I mean, one time I was trying to use it to get down to court.
Mm-hmm.
I had jury duty. That was a fun morning.
What happened?
I got there, but me and that car... I started screaming at the navigation. I'm like, get me to the courthouse right now.
That's me and Siri all the time. I yell at her.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Is she uncooperative sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes she doesn't know what I'm talking about. So, makes me mad.
Okay,
like,
but she does.
Mm-hmm.
She does know how much wood a woodchuck could chuck.
Yes, she does.
Yes, she does.
Oh, I was at the Van Halen concert the other night, and there I saw a t-shirt that was pucking wood. I don't know. I kept trying to say it. I never did get it quite right. It's not one that you could repeat on the air.
Right.
To be very careful.
I bet.
Okay.
By the way, I'm too old for that now.
Best new car overall, Lexus top of the list again. Second year in a row, they only had 73 problems for 100 models tracked, which was the same as in 2011.
And this is in 90 days, right?
That's the first 90 days of ownership,
first
yeah.
First 90 days.
So 73 out of 100 cars had a difficulty of some kind, either with the operation of the vehicle or a glitch of some sort. Toyota Motor Credit was the manufacturer that won the most, again, followed by Jaguar, then Porsche, then Cadillac, then Honda, then Acura, then Infiniti, Mercedes, and BMW. Mazda, GMC, Nissan, Ram, and Chevrolet also all finished above the industry average, which is pretty good. Fiat and Smart were in last place with 151 problems per 100 cars sold.
See, that's funny to me because they're so darn tiny, you wouldn't think there'd be
anything wrong.
Very many things at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I think there's probably issues there with both of those cars. I mean, I've heard from our customers that they have problems with them. So Mini has got a ton of stuff actually packed into it, and that might be mm-hmm. part of the problem, because the more bells and whistles you have on a car, the more bells and whistles can fail.
Yep.
So if it's very one of the things that Mercedes and Honda have done really well is they build sort of a Spartan car, but everything on it works. It doesn't have 10,000 little buttons, but all the buttons you push actually work. So no disappointments there when you operate the vehicle. Ford said that they believed that the reason that their rankings went down was because of the iTouch, and they did make the changes, but they said they didn't get them made in time to get enough happy people included in the survey. They said they're going to do a lot better next year.
Right. It did. It took too long for that to come out, but they also mentioned something about their transmission.
Yeah, they did have to tweak it a little bit.
Well,
they said.
And I'm going to say mine kicks me in the butt every now and then in a little shifting. There's this one... When I get caught not going quite fast enough,
mm-hmm.
and when it's a hard shift. I'm talking whiplash Ford. So I've got to get mine into the shop and see if they can
and make
tweak
the adjustment
what's already
on it.
There. I don't know if they can do anything, if they just change the transmission for the 12. If I'm just have one I need a neck brace.
I would almost bet that they plug it into a machine and it fixes it electronically.
Either I'm going to drive 60 all the time or wear a neck brace. So this thing
all
doesn't.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. The survey was a 228-question survey. It was conducted between February and May, and it's based on 74,000 responses, so it's fairly comprehensive, I would guess.
That's not that many when you think in the land of...
Well, but that's a lot of folks to ask about their cars, mm-hmm. 74,000. The best score overall came from the 911 Porsche. It had the fewest problems of any car ever tested, ever, since 2006 when they began the study, and it had 44 problems per 100 models reported on.
That's because people are driving those cars so darn fast, they're not paying attention to anything else that's going on in the car.
Well, and, you know, it is a good quality product, and they have built a good quality product for years. And again, it's not just packed with bells and whistles. It's a German car, and it's got sort of a German attitude to it.
Mm-hmm.
Voice recognition was one of the bigger problems that people seem to have. Some of the voice recognition units probably don't adjust well to different accents, I would think. I mean, if you're from Texas, maybe that's a problem because you talk like that, you know.
As opposed to
being from New Jersey and you talk like that,
right?
You know? So I would think that the voice recognition might have a problem with different parts of the country. I don't know.
I don't know what I was about to try to say. Didn't come out. Sorry.
Okay. GM was a real bright spot. This was a test was a bright spot for GM this year. Their Malibu was rated number one for the compact car. And GMC pickups came out as the number one pickup with the fewest problems.
They're good trucks.
Yeah. So anyway, it's it's an annual survey. They do it every year. It's the first 30 days, folks. So you cannot take this as wrote in that just because a car does well here, it's going to do well for 5 years, because you don't know. But this is the results in the first 30 days. The good folks at J.D. Power do surveys. As Sybil pointed out, that's how they make a living.
They survey
everything you might imagine. This is just the cars, but they do televisions and computers, and they do all kinds of surveys at J.D. Power. You can go to jdpower.com and get the complete results of the survey and find out all the stuff that we haven't talked about on the air.
That's right. Or if you go to autoflex.com, click on the Facebook link, you can see where your car ranks on this new survey from J.D. Power and Associates.
You can, and you can see the whole survey there, and there is a lot of information. I went ahead and put a lot of information on the Facebook site just because it went into such depth on so many different model cars. And, you know, we lease all makes and models at Autoflex, and our customers really do want to know about a lot of cars out there. I think probably when people call us, they usually have 2, 3, even 4 cars in mind that probably would fit the bill, and they're looking for getting just the very best one. So that's why I put it all. It's at the Autoflex Facebook page. Just like us there and read what's there.
There you have it.
You have to like us.
You do have to like us. All right.
Ooh, got a texter. Very good note here. Siri is a woman and not good with directions. Ooh.
She's not. That's true. Got to take a quick break here, but we'll be back with Kristen Brokoff from CarMD.com. So stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil. 877-881-1053 is our phone number here. If you have a question, now's a good time to call. You can also text us at 43733, and you can call Autoflex. David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. Autoflex.com on the web.
That's right. Now, let's check in with Kristen Brokoff from CarMD.com. Good morning, Kristen. Thanks for chiming in with us.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kristen. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Just so that everyone understands, would you give us a quick synopsis of CarMD.com and what the website is up for, what it's done, and what it does?
Sure. We have the largest database of check engine repairs that's ever been compiled, and we are providing consumers, so your basic average driver, with the information and tools that you need to diagnose related problems, check hidden problems, and estimate repairs without having to run to the repair shop every time you have an issue. And 3 times a year, we put out data from our database that tells about the common problems with your car. And this month, we put out the most, the state ranking of repair costs, who's paying the most for parts, labor, and who's got the best deals.
So what is the most common problem people have with their car?
Well, the most common problem across the U.S. is actually a faulty oxygen sensor. So the concerning thing about that is that it can impact your fuel economy by as much as 40%. And a lot of folks are driving around with that warning light on, that horrible check engine light, and they're saying, you know what, my car's running just fine. I don't care which sensor it is. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's running great. But the fact is it's going to be guzzling down a whole bunch of extra gasoline, and ultimately you're still going to either have to repair it yourself or get it repaired. And it's going to be costing you at the pump every time you ignore it.
Okay, so Kristen, are you talking about the light? It's an exclamation point in parentheses, basically?
No, that one is actually...
For tire pressure?
It's for TPMS, for tire pressure. If you go to the CarMD.com website, we actually have a look at all the different types of dashboard lights, and there's dozens of them, and sort of what they mean. We're talking about the check engine light, which usually either says check engine, and it has like red or orange. Mm-hmm. And then we're also talking about the ABS, the anti-lock brake, and the SRS. Our diagnostic products can diagnose about 80% of the systems on a car. And we're reporting our data based on that computer system in your car. So we're not necessarily looking at tires or some of the mechanical things that go wrong, but we're looking at everything else that could potentially go wrong with a car.
Okay, so I noticed in reading the story that you guys had online about this survey, about the reports on this, different states, there's a huge, huge difference in the most expensive state to have, say, an O2 sensor repaired and the least expensive state. In fact, it looks like it's $106 difference.
Yeah, there's a big disparity, and some of that is due to, like, the number one state with the most expensive repairs when we looked at it last year was Wyoming. Prior to that, it had been Arizona the year before. We're likening that to a lot of different reasons. I mean, it's very warm and dry and dusty in some of those areas. Also, with Wyoming, it's very spread out. It's very high altitude. There's a lot more rural independent repair shops, and I think the parts are not as readily available. So folks in those areas are paying more. What we're seeing when it comes to that is if you're heading out on a summer driving trip, it's a heck of a lot better to get your repairs looked at, get any potential problems solved in your driveway or with your favorite mechanic than it is when you're, in the middle of a national park in a high altitude, several thousand miles away from home.
I noticed that the states that it's the most expensive to repair are Wyoming, Utah, California, Montana, and Arizona. They have one thing in common, a lot of dust and dirt.
It is, and we've heard about those dust storms that I know Arizona's had. I live here in Nevada. We're having 50-mile-an-hour winds today. It is true. It can definitely play a part in your vehicle. If you live in a dry, dusty area or a very harsh climate, cold or warm, it's extremely important to pay even better attention. I know here in Nevada, I have to replace my car battery every 2 or 3 years. But literally, it's like the liquid in it is evaporating, and it's just part of the cost of living in a dry area.
Well, and so what are the more, a lot of our listeners live in areas that are dry and dusty and windy. So what would the result be, or what would the most common things be that you would have to watch out for living in dry, dusty? And of course, in Dallas, too, it'll be 100 tomorrow, and it was 80 last week. So what do we need to look out for?
Well, the number four most common repair in both Texas and across the country is a mass airflow sensor, and those things can run you $400 or so. They can also impact your fuel economy about 25%. So when you have the opportunity to replace, something like an air filter, and just really heed those warning signs, whether you know it needs to be repaired or your dealership tells you it needs to be repaired, take them up on the offer. It's only going to cost you a few bucks. Same goes when it comes to like a spark plug. If you have the feeling something's wrong, your car's not running right, you have a gut feeling, run a diagnostic yourself with products like CarMD, or get your buddy down the street to do it for you. It's much better to catch it when it's a $10 spark plug than when it turns into the whole system that needs to be replaced.
Yes.
With the ignition coils and whatnot. It's just, we're really encouraging folks to heed those warning signs and pay attention to general maintenance. It's much better to do so than to be caught off guard. You ignore an oxygen sensor that goes bad, it can potentially catapult into a catalytic converter, which is upwards of $1,000 in many, many places on many, many types of vehicles. And that's going to leave you stranded on the road with a misfire and you know, potentially an engine seizure if you, you know, don't get it repaired in a timely manner.
I noticed the catalytic converter mentioned specifically on your report here. Why do they cost so much?
They have precious metals inside, and they're also OE. You really have to get the original manufacturer parts, and so they're difficult to order. They're extremely expensive, and they're made to last a long time. So when this part is failing, it's extremely concerning because it means that that vehicle owner more than likely ignored a smaller problem upstream. And it's just very concerning that year in and year out, we see that as one of the top three or four most common repairs, and it really just shouldn't be.
Wow.
We're talking to Kristen Brokoff from CarMD.com, and Kristen, we're starting to get some fan texters who are listening to the show right now, and you just said OE, which I think means original equipment, and one of our guys who is listening says, oh my gosh, this woman's throwing out all these acronyms associated with automotive repair, and I'm in love sight unseen. So you've got fans here in Texas too, Kristen.
A girl in the automotive industry. Gotta love it, huh?
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, speaking of Texas, how does Texas rate with the other states as far as having your car repaired? How much does it cost here compared to everyone else?
Texas is smack in the middle. I know that Texas is located in the middle anyway, but it is absolutely just a few pennies different from the average U.S. repair cost. $333.75 is what it'll run you in Texas versus $333.93. And, you know, that's just an average. We look at tens of thousands of repairs in each state. And the great thing about Texas is that you've seen a 2-point drop in oxygen sensor repairs and a decrease in catalytic converter repairs. So that tells me that folks in Texas are taking better care of their cars these days, and I love it. I love
Yay.
To see that.
Yeah. Now, and I guess finally, Kristen, explain to everyone what your products are, because you're talking about people running diagnostics on their own cars. How can someone do that?
Yeah, in addition to having built the largest network of technicians across the country, so we have automotive service excellence technicians who feed into our database, we also sell a consumer product. It's the CarMD handheld device. And, we give consumers the opportunity to plug a device into their car that's very similar to what you'd see in a very expensive scan tool, but it's a lot more affordable, and then you basically just go to your home computer, your Mac or your PC, and you can find out what's wrong, what recalls are associated with it, what technical service bulletins are available on your car, what parts and labor should cost to repair that problem, and then make an educated decision about whether or not you want to tackle the repair yourself or get it done by a professional.
So you sort of do the homework for everyone before they make a decision as to what they're going to do to repair the car, and you do some diagnostic work for them so they can sort of tell. When they take it to the mechanic, you know, I'm like everybody else. You take it to a mechanic and he goes, well, it needs the Johnson rods adjusted. And you go, okay. How much is that going to be? And they go, it's $1,200. And you go, darn Johnson rods. And But you don't really know.
And same with if you go to an auto parts store. I know some of them will do the free scans. It's a little scary because then you've got a junior person who's at the counter guessing and throwing parts at a problem. We're never going to tell you to just start ripping parts out of your car and replacing them, but we have an extremely spot-on diagnosis so that you can make an educated decision on what to repair.
Oh, that is great. That's a great product. And where can people find that?
You can go to CarMD.com, and you can get all the information on the state rankings that I'm talking about and see where your state ranks when it comes to repairs. You can also buy the product directly. And then we offer this great free service. It's www.carmd.com/snapshot, SNAPSHOT. And you can actually see where your car ranks and what common problems are at different mileage on your vehicle. It's really a cool tool.
All right, Kristen, we know you got up early for us out there in Nevada this morning, so we certainly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much.
There she goes. Kristen Brokoff, CarMD.com. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to this Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blessing Game, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil, here for you. If you want to give us a call, 877-881-1053 is the number. You can also fan text us at 43733. You can also call AutoFlex. And David, how do people reach you there?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area, or AutoFlex.com may be the easiest way to get your next car.
We were just talking to Kristen Brokoff from CarMD.com, and she has a device that they sell on their website, and it basically gives you kind of a preemptive strike, a little diagnostic before you take your car in for repairs. And Tammy brought up a great point during the break.
Well, I think it would be a beneficial tool to maybe take with you used car shopping.
Yes.
You know, if you're looking for a vehicle that's outside the factory warranty period, you could plug it into those cars to find out if there are any codes that, you know, maybe that used car dealer has maybe unplugged the check engine light, or maybe they've already turned it off but not fixed the problem.
Right.
Maybe they're like that guy that traded in the car to us that time that put a little piece of black tape over the warning light on the dash and you couldn't see it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did he trade it in at night?
No, he traded it in the daytime, but the guy that was sitting in the right front, our salesman was sitting in the passenger seat, and he goes, "What is that glow?" And I said, "What glow?" He said, "There's a red." He said, "There's a red light on." I said, "No, there's not. Electrical tape."
Oh, that's so sneaky.
That's funny.
No, I asked the customer. I said, "Did you know you had electric?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I got tired of that light. The red light bothered me." But okay, then.
That's an ostrich.
That's funny.
Bury your head in the sand. Ignore the light.
Put a piece of tape over it.
That's right.
That's a great idea, though, if you're used car shopping, because I know that there are ways to turn those lights off without actually having to do repairs.
Mm.
So you could use that as a diagnostic. The other thing Tammy said was, what were you saying were the most common when you were a warranty clerk? And I know it was a while back, but what were the most common? Right.
A warranty administrator.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Anyway. The oxygen sensors and the mass airflow sensors, we did a whole lot of warranty claims on those for cars that were newer when those were failing in the emissions. Of course, that was back in the...
A while ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
80s.
Whoa!
Well, I know that the O2 sensor, if it fails, can really, really mess with your gas mileage because it figures out how much air and how much gas goes into your engine at the same time. And when it gets out of balance, your engine will suck down a lot more gas.
So don't ignore those warning lights, even if you do feel flat broke. You still have to put gas in the car, so if it turns out that that $100 repair might save you $100
in
a month or every couple of months in fuel, you got to think about that. Watch what's happening to your fuel economy if it starts getting really poor.
Yes.
Probably is related to something like that. But there are a lot of gadgets like that. CarMD has one, but a lot of people have these diagnostic tools. They're not the first ones. They have this cool website, though, and so maybe all of that information is beneficial. Of course, it doesn't really matter to me what it costs to get my car fixed in Montana because I don't live there.
But it's nice to know that we're not too high or too low in Texas. We're right in the middle. Be better to be the cheapest, though.
I guess
that's true. Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about stolen cars because this is one of my favorite lists. They put these out every year. What states are the most likely to be or have the most stolen cars? And then where in Texas do you have the most stolen cars?
Well, and you know what? The poorest run state in the union is still the champion of stolen cars. California is the place you want to go if you want your car stolen, more likely there than anywhere else in the United States.
And what's the number one city?
Fresno, California. Number one city in the United States. I don't know if they put that on the signs. Welcome to Fresno.
Lock your car.
Lock your car. Don't get out of your car. Followed by Modesto.
Drive in, walk out. That's their new motto.
Modesto, right? Bakersfield, Spokane, Washington. Number four. Number five, Yakima, Washington. Number six, San Francisco, Oakland. Seven, Stockton. Eight, Anderson, South Carolina. Who knew? Nine, Viejo, Mission Viejo. Portersville, number 10. In Texas, most likely, San Antonio.
Huh.
That's the number one car, and it ranks 32 in the nation.
Mm.
Second, Texarkana, number 44 in the nation. Third, Houston, 45 in the nation. El Paso, 50th in the nation, Laredo, 53rd, and finally, Dallas-Fort Worth comes in way down at 58th, which is good news for us.
Yeah, that is.
I don't like that, though.
Yeah, but well, we live in a big metroplex, so we're going to have higher numbers.
And, you know, here's the thing. There's really some simple stuff you can do. First, don't leave your keys in the car.
And don't leave anything in the car that looks appealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I'm in the car with somebody and they leave their iPod sitting out, I'm like, put that in your console. You don't want to tempt anybody. Or one time I had gone to the movies at Studio Movie Grill, and they had officers in the parking lot, and they left a note on the car that said, don't leave your GPS in your window like that, because that's just inviting somebody to break into your car.
Yeah, I have a neighbor that had their car broken into, parked in front of their house. Guess why?
GPS.
Hanging on the windshield.
Mm. I came out of the movies once, and another couple had come out at the same time, and they were parked right next to me, window broken. She'd left her purse inside the car. I almost slapped her. I mean, I know she was upset, but I just wanted to go just right in the back of the head. Stupid. Yeah. Like an Italian father. You stupid.
You got to put that in the trunk.
Yeah.
I know.
Laptops laying in cars. I mean, why would you do that? Because that's worth stealing.
I'm not leaving my purse in the trunk either, because what if they steal the car? They've got my purse.
Yeah, but if you're going, say you're going running or something, you can't take it with you.
I'm not taking my purse to the place where I'm going running. I can take
If you can plan it all out like that, that's perfect. But sometimes people have errands to run, so they have to have their wallet with them.
I know.
Okay, moving back to it. Lock your doors, close your windows, park in a well-lit area. And I have a quick story on this. I remember one time parking in a very well-lit area because of that. I didn't want someone to break into my car. I had a new car, and it had wire wheel covers. Now, this is a long time ago. Wire wheel covers were really cool. Mm. Cars did not all have alloy wheels back then. I parked it in a very well-lit area. I came out. All the wheel covers were gone.
Mm.
And the other couple that I was with, the guy goes, yeah, you gave them good light to work by.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the light. They could see how beautiful your wheel covers were because you put them in the light.
And it made it easier to steal, I'm sure.
Darn it.
Audio alarms.
If somebody wants what you got, they're going to get it.
Yeah, if they want it bad enough. Mm-hmm. Audio alarms are good. Steering wheel locks, brake locks, wheel locks. A lot of different things you can do. And finally, location devices. A lot of cars have smart keys now. If you have a smart key, they're not going to steal your car, because they can't start the darn thing.
Right.
But you got smart keys and kill switches. And then finally, the ultimate or the fourth level, and that's the low jack or the locator of the car. And they work, folks. They absolutely work. Mm-hmm. A lot of cars come with location systems so that if your car is stolen, you can call a phone number. They can instantly locate your car, notify the police. And I helped a customer get a car back in Las Vegas. It took, I think, 5 or 6 minutes.
Wow.
After it was reported stolen, the guy that was driving it was laying on his face on the hot pavement on Las Vegas Boulevard.
Me likey.
Yeah.
It was fast action.
It was a Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes located. They located the car. They called LAPD, Las Vegas PD, LVPD, pulled the guy over, put him out, handcuffed him, stolen car.
Wow.
Back. Yeah.
So we mentioned car alarms. Do those still work? Because I got to be honest, if I'm out somewhere and I hear an alarm go off, it's more of a nuisance. I never go look and see what happened.
Well, the alarm works. It's just that nobody else cares about anybody
else's
stuff.
But that's
stuff.
My question. Does anybody ever go and see what's happening out there? I mean, I know I don't. Do you guys?
I go look.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
So then
sure
I guess
it's not mine.
That would work.
But if it's somebody else's, if I noticed something going on, I would call the police. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I've learned I'm not going to go get involved.
Right.
Physically. You know, if I had a rifle, I could be a sniper. I could shoot from, you know, my house. But I'm not going to go get involved because I don't want to get hurt.
I'm with you.
We have a good fan text here. Hey, David, Tammy, Sybil, I'm looking to buy a 2013 Subaru Impreza hatchback. What do you know about the vehicles as far as the engine, transmission reliability, and fuel economy? My impression, and from what I've read, they're great vehicles. People that buy them love them. They buy them again and again.
I say we need to review one because we haven't done that.
Yeah.
And maybe we can borrow one of those this next week and come back and give you our real opinion. As far as the fuel economy, whatever's posted, that's what we have to just believe is true. And here's something interesting I was reading about fuel economy. You know, they're talking about removing weight from the car, even taking out the spare tires in order to save some weight and improve fuel economy. And then I thought about ourselves and how we need to trim it down,
right?
All that. Think about, you know, having a weight limit for your passengers.
Well, you know, that's a real
up extra gas money.
That's a real thing with the airlines.
It is.
Yeah, on smaller commuter planes, it's a problem because the average American weighs like 30 pounds more than they did 30 years ago.
Wow.
And they set up all these weight limits on these smaller commuter planes 30 years ago, and now everyone weighs more. So if you've got a plane that holds maybe 10 people or 12 people, you add 30% to the weight. There's actually been an airliner crash because of too much weight. It threw the center of gravity off. Yeah. It's a real problem. And it's a problem for cars, too, because if you weigh more, it causes
fuel economy. Here's the other thing. They put the fuel economy on the minivan. Then you put your 18 kids in there with all the backpacks and the, we just added 10,000 pounds to the car. So now the fuel economy is going to go down. So we don't think about those things.
Right.
This is the fuel economy when the car's empty on a dynamometer.
Well, so when we come back, we'll talk about the weight of spare tires and what manufacturers are doing to cut that down.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil. Still got time to call 877-881-1053, but you got to hurry, or you can fan text us at 43733. Let's talk about spare tires. This is something everybody should have in their car. Raise your hand. Let's go around the room. Does everybody have a spare tire, Waddle?
Yes, I do.
David?
I do.
Tammy?
Two.
You have two of them?
One on me, one on the car.
That's double.
Oh, goodness.
I see what you did there.
I'm full of them.
So everybody should always have a spare tire in their car. And I remember in some of my previous cars, I never cared about it, never had one. But now that I've gone to Autoflex and I have my new car, it came with one, and thankfully I have it.
Well, here's the thing, though. Spare tires are becoming a thing of the past. They're going the way of the dinosaur, as they say, because all the manufacturers are trying to improve the gas mileage their cars get.
That's 50 pounds, that spare tire and all the tools that go with it.
Even a temporary spare is 30 pounds and all the tools that go with it. So what they've begun to do is replace the spare tire with a can of Fix-A-Flat, basically, and an air pump.
Wow.
So you get a little air pump that you can plug into your lighter or your PowerPoint. And you get a can of Fix-A-Flat, and you squirt that in the tire that's flat, and then you pump the tire back up. And that saves about 50 pounds, or 30 pounds, accordingly, of the car's weight, which gives you between half a mile per gallon and 1 mile per gallon in EPA rating, which is what everyone is striving to do. Now, when surveyed, and this article came from a place they surveyed, Yes, 74% of the people said they would rather have a spare tire than a can of Fix-A-Flat.
You know why?
Why?
It's habit. It's a security blanket.
I don't. You know, I certainly agree with that to a point, but my personal experience, less than a month ago, I was driving through downtown Dallas. I began to get, the tire started going down. I could feel it. I pulled over. I was fortunate I pulled over into a tire store. There was a tire replacement place right at the top of an exit. So I got off and I pulled in there, and they changed the tire for me. But it had a big cut on the inside of the sidewall. I had hit something in the road that had sliced into the tire, and I doubt seriously the foamy Fix-A-Flat would have fixed my tire.
If you have duct tape too, maybe.
Maybe. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Duct tape, WD-40, and Fix-A-Flat. That's all I need. And this lamp.
Right.
And this lamp.
And that's all I need.
Anyway, it is a sort of it's a thing of the future. It's what's happening. A lot of cars now. In fact, people don't even know that they don't have spares.
I know. I sold, or leased, I should say, one of the Mazda RX-8s.
Yeah.
And they were the first cars.
Yep, they were the first cars.
That didn't put, or, you know, the new generation of cars that weren't putting spares. It's a tiny little trunk. And it was going to cost about $1,000 to put the mount. You know, they said that you could put a spare in there, but there was a special mount to put this tire in and all this Yahoo business. And so my customer decided to just go with the Fix-A-Flat.
Is it?
And I said, really, are you going to even change the tire should something happen? Aren't you going to just dial up Mr. Sweetie Pie on your cell phone and say, hun, I have a flat, bring a tire.
Well, and you know, that's the other thing, because having a spare was really important before cell phones. Because if you didn't have a spare, and or if your spare was flat, which has happened to people, then you had no way out. You were done. Wherever you were, middle
it's
of nowhere,
more costly
you were there.
If you don't have one, you'd have to buy the wheel and the whole nine yards.
Right,
you?
Right. And one of our fan texters texted in, what happens if you wear your tire, shred your tire down to the rim? Well, you screw up the tire and the rim. That's what happens.
Then you need everything.
Then you need the whole
thing.
Then you
need a tow truck.
But before cell phones, it was more important than it is now because so many people call roadside assistance. Or if you worst comes to worst, call a wrecker. And they come and get you and pull you away. But I personally would still rather have a spare tire.
I think
me
that's
too.
What, I would want one if I took a road trip, but my little commute to and from work every day,
mm-hmm.
no, because I know that I have, 25 people I could reach out to and get some help there.
Right.
But if I were heading to Houston,
mm-hmm.
who's going to come to halfway down there? Again?
Meet you in Centerville?
Tam, you just need to call and spend the money and pony up. And
right.
We're not coming to your rescue down there.
So, I think the things that are important are to make sure that your tires stay inflated properly, because if they go down and they're not inflated enough, they get very hot when you drive at highway speeds, and then they begin to come apart. So you can blow a tire out by not having enough air in it. It can get the tire so hot that it could be. Spare tires, if you have a regular spare, it's going to be inflated to the same pressure that your tires are. If you have one of those donut spares, 60 pounds. It needs 60 pounds of air in it.
How about jumper cables? Who all has jumper cables in their car?
Oh, I used to, but I don't anymore.
I mean, some people, anymore, I kind of want to say, no, I don't have jumper cables, because I'm always afraid somebody would be trying to, pull a fast one on me.
What do you mean?
Say their car's broken down, get me to start,
Yeah.
The day I walked into a dark bathroom and I was like, okay, turned on the light, and then I was checking under all the stalls to make sure the boogeyman wasn't in there. But speaking of jumper cables, these jumper cables walk into a bar.
Okay.
What?
All right.
The bartender says, hey, pal, get out of here. We don't serve your kind. The jumper cables plead, look, I'm here. I'm thirsty. I've got money. I want a drink. Please let me stay. The bartender says, okay, one drink. But don't try to start anything. All right, that was my groaner for the day.
Padoom boom.
David made me tell that joke.
Padoom boom.
I didn't even segue into it very well. Sorry.
No, it's funny.
Fan texter, I'd rather lose 50 pounds and keep my spare. That's great.
That is true. Here's the thing with Fix-A-Flat, though. Isn't it an aerosol can?
It is.
So with the heat.
It can go bad, too.
And that's what I was going to ask. Yeah, does it expire, or would it explode in your heat?
It doesn't explode, but just like your spare, you have to check your can of Fix-A-Flat.
Yeah, your spare, you got to check and make sure it has air in it.
Okay.
And you make sure you replace that can of Fix-A-Flat every couple of years, because if you don't have that, you don't have nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Throw a unicycle in your trunk and you're done. You'll have a
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the deal. BYOB means something different in France now. We all think of...
bring your own booze.
Well, in France, it means bring your own breathalyzer.
What?
Starting July, it is going to be necessary to have not one, but two breathalyzers with you in the car if you drive in France, the whole country.
No matter where you're from.
Yes.
You don't get to plead ignorance. That's the rule.
How are they going to check?
They pull you over.
And
you must have them.
Wow.
And they must be unused. And here's why. If you used one of them to check to make sure you were okay to drive, you still have an unused one that you can show the police. So in case you need it, you can have it again. And they're for sale. Guess where?
By the French government?
They're for sale by the French government at all the entry points. So when you're coming over from going into Calais from England, they've got a big place where you can buy breathalyzer so you can drive in the country.
But you're supposed to have one to check yourself after you've imbibed in their lovely French wine. You
right.
want to make sure you're safe to drive over the hills and through the woods.
And here's the
and
thing.
So
the French limit for intoxication while driving is 0.5.
Wow.
Ours is 0.8, right?
Yeah.
In England, it's 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
But in France, in England, it's 0.8 like us. In France, it's 0.5. You also, by the way, in France, have to carry a yellow reflective vest and a reflective triangle with you in the car at all times. And if you
and
live
that vest
there,
has to be inside the car, not in the boot.
Yeah, you have to put the vest in the car. It can't be in the trunk.
In case you need to get out. They don't want you to go out and be digging in the trunk for your vest. They want to be able to find it in your car to prove that you have one. It's
strict over there.
Here's the other thing. If you live in France, you have to carry a fire extinguisher and a first aid kit in case you have to stop and help somebody. So everyone has to have a fire extinguisher. Everyone has to have a first aid kit. Everyone has to have a reflective vest. Everyone has to have a reflective triangle and two breathalyzers.
Their fuel economy must be terrible with all that extra weight.
Where do they put all
junk?
That stuff in their tiny little cars?
I don't know.
That's what I want to know. It's interesting. We've got the best place to drive, the best place to live. We're lucky here in the United States of America.
Yes, we are.
So if you're thinking about going to France this summer, stock up.
I like the fact that the police have to carry the breathalyzers here. It's their responsibility.
That's true. All right, if you have a question for AutoFlex, they're still open today. You can give them a shout, 817 or 972-234-1234, and also visit the website, autoflex.com. We'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you for Waddle for being here with us today.
Thank you.
And for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.